Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
He just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post. Lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace. What a jump ball.
He's down 4, 12-8, 7-38 to play in the first. A burst from Rodney. Stuck into the rim. Tapped up, baby, and a foul.
Reggie inside for Andre. Oh. And a dynamite dunk.
Pistons fans, welcome back to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguilano, and joining me, as always, is my partner in crime, Aaron Johnson. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing good, Mike. Happy to be here. One more show until we get – this is the final show until we get to the draft lottery. So super excited to get to that and to see, you know, what's going to end – where the Pistons are going to end up in the NBA draft, but let's focus on the show here today first and not get too ahead of ourselves.
Yep, exactly. We have one more week until the draft lottery, and that's when we could really start to put together some of the puzzle pieces that are scattered right now for the Pistons and for a lot of other teams. That lottery is going to mean a lot, and Detroit's going to be in a good position to get a top three pick and a real game changer, so we're very excited about that. But we do have one more week of content to get through before we get to that. And of course, our lovely sponsor we've had for several weeks now, BetOnline. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, and it's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. You can head on over to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, head on over to the website, betonline.ag, or use your mobile device, and you'll be able to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, Aaron, we left with a bit of a tease last week, but we can go into it a little bit more. I don't know how much you want to go into it. It's not old news, but a lot of other Pistons guys have touched on it, but I think it's important for us to touch on too. And it's a good lesson for the general sports fan as well. Just how much we don't care about other players succeeding when they're not on your team. And that would, of course, be Blake Griffin, who has adopted a very scrappy, dirty, not dirty in the sense of he's a dirty player, but dirty in the sense of he's diving for loose balls. You know, he's doing his damnedest against Giannis Antetokounmpo. And he's just doing the little things that make a difference in a series. It's not a big enough difference to overcome not having James Harden or Kyrie Irving, but he's playing an elevated role. He's playing some important games for Brooklyn. He's played well. He's dunked. He's looked like a much different player than when he was on the Pistons. And I want to get your thoughts on the discourse of LOL Pistons fans cry seeing Blake Griffin dunk a basketball, which we knew he could still do, but dunking in a playoff game, no less. Any thoughts on that overall feeling?
Yeah, I mean, like, I think the general consensus from Pistons fans was that they knew that Blake was kind of half-assing it, and they knew by the end of his time in Detroit that he was just trying to save himself for his future. I think it's kind of, I mean, it doesn't look at the full picture for what letting go of Blake Griffin did for Detroit. It obviously opened up big minutes for guys like Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart got some extra minutes, and even Sekou Doumbouya got more minutes, and these different guys, and beyond just the guys getting minutes at where Blake Griffin would be on the court, also it just was a step forward into the future for Detroit. No longer trying to scrap your way to the seventh or eighth seed in the playoffs. This was them going forward with their core that looked very, very good this year. Their rookies, Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, Killian Hayes, their big time addition in Jeremy Grant. You know, some nice secondary extra pieces and guys like Josh Jackson and Frank Jackson that had nice seasons. And, you know, the moving on from Blake Griffin, again, it was a mutual thing. I mean, I'm sure Detroit didn't want to do it at the beginning of the year, but when Blake came out and wasn't playing well and then wasn't giving it his all, conversely, the Pistons had their young guys playing very well and vying for his minutes, it just kind of made sense. So the discourse on Twitter and LOL Pistons, Blake played you, like, Pistons fans knew that before Blake Griffin left, and it really didn't matter. You know, if the Pistons didn't have anything going for them and no young players to step in, like, that would be one thing. Then it probably would suck, but they have a plethora of young talent, and they're doing just fine. So, you know, that kind of discourse in itself is whatever to me. The one other type of discourse that I wanted to touch on was the whole, and this is coming from, like, there's like two factions of Pistons Twitter. It's like one side is, you know, upset at Blake Griffin, you know, thinks he kind of disrespected Detroit. And then there's the other side that says, you're not allowed to feel that way. And you can't say that. Blake did this, Blake did that. And Blake absolutely did a lot. You know, playing injured in the playoffs, giving it his all then. But there's absolutely no reason for someone to tell another person how to feel when a player just comes out and doesn't try. Like, you're allowed to be upset with that. Now, does it need to get Reggie Jackson meet up at Applebee's disrespectful? No, but, you know, you're allowed to be upset that a player comes out, is getting paid a hell of a lot of money, and doesn't try, really. I think that's the fair way to put it with the way that he played in Detroit this year and then watching him have some of the moments that he's had in Brooklyn. So that's kind of the other one that I wanted to touch on. I just think telling someone, oh, Blake did this, Blake did that. Yeah, but then Blake did this and Blake did that. So, you can't do one thing and just be good for the rest of the time. Like, if something else happens, you're going to take your comeuppance for that. Like, it is what it is. People are allowed to be upset that Blake Griffin dusted Detroit away the way that he did and is now in Brooklyn dunking every night, shooting and doing more than he was able to do in Detroit. He still has his deficiencies. Like, he still can't score in the post. He still can't back down anyone anymore, but he's doing more than he did in Detroit. He's obviously trying a lot harder. And fans are allowed to be upset with that. That's what a fan is. Like, you're a fan of your team. You know, you're going to be mad if a player comes out and purposely doesn't try on your team,
right,
off somewhere and plays better.
Yeah. That's how it goes. And it always seems like when the player leaves your team, he plays better on the other team, or she plays better on the other team. That's always how it feels. Especially for us lowly Northeast Rust Belt football fans, it always seems somebody leaves your football team, Lions, the Browns, they always seem to play better with the other team. And it's not the case always, but it's going to happen. That's just a part of it. We have to accept that. And he's playing well. Good for him. He's also playing in meaningful games with a team that is going somewhere. That was not the case for the Pistons. There is the carrot dangling in front of him as well. That changes things. He's in a reduced role compared to what he's used to. And I hope that this allows people to look back at his time in Detroit and his dominance that he had, because he had a career season with the Pistons that they look back fondly and say, wow, he was really good. he was really good. And yeah, you know, it ended poorly in Motown, but that's kind of how it goes, right? I mean, guys yep. leave teams and they play better, they play worse. It's just how it goes.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I mean, you like, certainly you should, you know, be appreciative of, as a Pistons fan, what Blake Griffin did, taking his team to the playoffs, having a career season, giving it all, playing injured. But then again, you're on the flip side, you are allowed to be upset when, you know, a guy does what he does and then goes out
sure.
and for the other team. It's just like, it's a balance, you know, like on the, you go back a couple of years ago, it's the same thing of like, you can't be, I don't know. I just know that Pistons Twitter like is very much, you're either on one side or the other. And I think that that's a little weird. Obviously, you don't want to go too far in disrespecting Blake Griffin. Like, he gave a lot to Detroit. He did a lot of good things, but you are allowed to be upset. And it is what it is. Like, I just wanted to touch on that. I know that wasn't exactly what we were talking about with Blake Griffin. We were talking about a little bit of the general discourse, but I wanted to get into, like, the Pistons discourse with that as well.
And I'll tell you what. If the Pistons had this version of Blake Griffin, it isn't swinging the tides. And I don't think it's going to drastically change his tradability either. He still had a mammoth contract that was going to be super hard to move. And he certainly wasn't worth what he was being paid with the Pistons. So I don't know why, you know, there's all this discourse all of a sudden that, you know, that they're upset that he wasn't playing well. Healthy Blake Griffin was not the, it was not the difference between a good Pistons team and a bad Pistons team. This version of Blake would have been a nice thing to have that ultimately doesn't add enough value to your team. I mean, if he was on the Pistons playing this way, I mean, he might get a few more fans because he's playing gritty and that just seems to be what people like. But this isn't the difference between a playoff Pistons team and you know, where they currently reside.
No, absolutely not. Like a healthy Blake Griffin wasn't taking this team to the playoffs. Like, they still had a lot of deficiencies, to be fair. But yeah, that's just kind of my thoughts on the situation. We can move on from that. I'm sorry. I didn't, don't mean to take us off schedule.
No, that's okay. It's honestly important to touch on that. Not only because we're looking for stuff to talk about, but it's from a general perspective. We don't care. The collective Pistons fans don't care. Like, trying to put this like pseudo, like, feeling into fans' minds because you think they're upset that a guy who was really expensive and really just just not very committed. And again, this version of Blake, now Blake's showing out like he did in 18-19. Okay. That'd be a little bit different. This is just a gritty Blake that's playing a little harder for a team that has a chance to win, you know, win a championship. So we can go on and move on from there. I don't think we have anything else to say, but thanks for trying to upset Pistons fan, but it's just a little bit, it's just low hanging fruit at that point. And low hanging fruit. Imagine being able to pull like a steak off the tree. Wouldn't that be awesome? Pull like a freshly cooked steak off the tree.
Oh, that made me hungry.
Well, you can't pull a steak out like out of a tree, but you can get Moink meat. And our new sponsor is Moink meat, and Moink meat is so delicious. Aaron, I personally have a problem with a lot of the food industry in this country. Why do only four companies control 8% of the meat industry? And it's because big food crushes the little guy. There's a lot of documentaries about this too, if you're ever wanting to never want to eat cheese or anything like that ever again. But you can help the little guy. You can help that with moinkbox.com. You get the best bacon, the best steak, the best chicken, the best salmon you'll ever eat. Won't come from a grocery store. And it's from a family farm caught by independent farmers, independent Alaskan fishermen. That fish is probably dynamite. That's why you need moinkbox.com. You can join the Moink movement today at moinkbox.com. That's moinkbox.com/believe, BLEAV, right now. And listeners to this show can get free bacon for a year. Holy crap. With every box ordered, that's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste, but it's for a limited time. So, spelled moinkbox.com/believe, BLEAV. That's moinkbox.com/believe.
Dude,
a free year of bacon. Holy crap. I'm really hungry too. And that's crazy. Free bacon for a year. Again, that's moinkbox.com/leave. That is a new sponsor. I hope that goes over well, because that is, hopefully everybody is now going to be phoning in for free bacon for a year. I don't understand. I mean, that's, I'm not an economist. I have a minor in economics. I'm not an economist, but I feel like that would do well. I don't know. Maybe it would do. I think people like bacon. Let's go ahead and move on to our next topic, and that's former Pistons in the playoffs. And apparently we just like to reminisce painfully in this podcast, but a lot of former Pistons in the playoffs. You listed them out here on our show notes. I talked about Blake, but Chris Middleton had a cup of coffee. Tobias Harris, Reggie Jackson, Luke Kennard, Reggie Bullock, Andre Drummond, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Some of these guys are already out. Anthony Tolliver, Ish Smith, Langston Galloway, Tony Snell. That's a sizable chunk of players, and a lot of them that played together.
Yeah.
Like a significant amount of them played together. That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, this team has got – I mean, this playoffs has got a lot of former Pistons, and you put this team out there right now, hey, they might be decent. Tobias Harris, Chris Middleton, it depends what – version of Blake Griffin you're getting, Andre Drummond, Reggie. I mean, there's some talent there. That's a good, that's a deep team, I'd say. That's a playoff team.
You know, I was kind of thinking about that. I really think that's a playoff team too. That's a pretty fun team. Could get some aggravating games though between Luke and Reggie and Andre Drummond, but already kind of had that, didn't we?
We already went through that.
We already went through that. Pretty interesting. Which of those guys are you really capping for the most when it comes to like want to do well?
That's still left. I mean, I guess it's gotta be Reggie Jackson, even though I don't want the Clippers to win, but I'd love to see Reggie Jackson get a championship ring. I mean, I was very, very adamant during his time in Detroit that Reggie Jackson belonged. Reggie Jackson was good. He just didn't stay healthy. And when he was healthy, he was good. The numbers supported that every single year. When he was healthy, the Pistons were a better team. And obviously did not have the greatest health in Detroit. He's played a huge role for the Clippers in the playoffs. He's had a couple big games for them, big quarters, big shots. I think it would be great. And then in correspondence with that, it also gets Luke Kennard a ring. Now, I liked him in Detroit. Obviously, was not the right pick. It should have been Donovan Mitchell. I'm always going to mention it when we talk about it.
We could do a whole pod on that too.
Yes, but I wrote before the draft, Donovan Mitchell is the pick for the Detroit Pistons, and they still went with Luke Kennard. That's on Stan Van Gundy and Jeff Bauer. But Reggie Jackson, I'm definitely would like to see him get that ring. And if he gets it, it also means Luke Kennard gets the ring. I mean, dark horse, and this is tough because I really am not a fan of the Sixers, but Anthony Tolliver definitely deserves a ring as well. I know he doesn't really play for them, but would certainly like to see him get that ring, but probably, you know, if I had to pick one, it'd be Reggie Jackson, because he just got so much hate in Detroit, and it was all because he really just couldn't stay healthy, because when he was on the court healthy, he was productive.
Yeah, he really caught the short end of the stick big time. And I mean, a lot of these guys did, to be quite honest. Most of these guys caught the short end of the stick, whether it was Luke Kennard being compared to Donovan Mitchell, or, you know, Blake, what we just had talked about, Andre Drummond had the most of it. A lot of these guys have caught some flack, and I would be fine with any of them. I agree on Anthony Tolliver. I think that is a pretty easy one. He should get a ring. He's bounced around. I honestly forgot he was still playing even, but I'm not a huge fan of the Sixers either. I like Tobias Harris. I think, but like a role player like Tolliver, I think carries a lot of weight for people when they see a guy get a ring. Like, for example, if the Mavericks had won the ring, there would be people equally happy for Luka and Boban Marjanovic, because they just like those Boban sorts of players. Boban.
Former Piston, Boban. How did I not get that one on the list? Wow.
That's true. You forgot about Boban Marjanovic. Oh, how could you?
Come on.
How could you? And he actually played a couple of meaningful minutes for like, I mean, it was probably like minutes. And then he was no longer effective against the Clippers. He
started at least one playoff game for the Mavericks against the Clippers.
Yeah, he did. He did. I remember seeing that on Twitter and thinking, I think we just want chaos. I think we just want to like they just want to go big against the Clippers going small, and we'll just throw Boban. And sometimes it worked. Sometimes he just lifted his hand a couple inches up and the ball went in. It's crazy.
He's awesome.
He is awesome. So you can't think about Tobias Harris without thinking about Boban Marjanovic either. That's just the two go hand in hand. John Wick star Boban as well.
Hey, I got to
forget about that.
Who is the next Detroit Piston to be on a playoff team? Like coming off of this roster from this season, who's going to leave and join a playoff team?
I guess that kind of gets us into a topic of who's leaving.
Kind of. Yeah, a little bit.
That's a good question. I don't know what playoff teams would take a flyer and then have them stick for the whole year. I mean, the Pistons could make the playoffs. They get Cade. I mean, so it would be any of them first, but good question, my friend.
Here, I'll give you mine first.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Corey Joseph.
That's a good one.
I think he's gone at the end of this year. I think they're going to waive him in free agency free agency because he has, you know, only $2 million guaranteed left on his deal. So I'm imagining they're going to waive him. And I think, you know, he proved he's a good point guard, can play backup minutes for sure, start when needed. And I think the playoff team's going to value that unless he, you know, he got his big deal in Sacramento. I don't think he's getting another big deal like that again. And I think he's, you know, he can get a biannual or something like that with a playoff team. You know, he can provide value as some backcourt depth. And, you know, he does some nice things. Obviously, he can score the ball a little bit. A good passer, good defender. He's a good veteran to have. I mean, it certainly seemed like the guy has enjoyed playing and being around him. So I that's going to be my pick.
That's a good choice. Do we think Wayne Ellington is going to be on the team next year?
I was thinking about saying him. I don't think he will be.
Is he an expiring?
I think he has 1 year left. But I just look at
but the record. He's an expiring next year, right?
Yes, he'll be an expiring.
So he could be a deadline.
Right.
Out.
I just look, I mean, they have Josh Jackson, Hamidou Diallo, and Frank Jackson at the two guard spot. And, you know,
potentially a draft pick who could also be that too.
Right. And then if you want to play him at the three, well, you have Sadiq Bey, Josh Jackson, Hamidou Diallo, Jeremy Grant, you know, the list goes on. And there's and Wayne Ellington's great. Like if the Pistons kept him and just had him on the roster, like that'd be fine. It's just to have a veteran, totally fine. Great guy in the locker room. I think they might part ways.
Yeah, I guess I get that too. I think we've nailed the two guys that I think are going to leave. But if we open it up to like midseason trades, maybe it gets a little different. Maybe Mason Plumlee is part of that as well.
That's true.
So you know, something to think about. I think we pretty much nailed it with those two. I mean, if we had done this last year, it probably would have been Derrick Rose as one of those guys. Yeah, I think we pretty much nailed that for sure. If
you
would have
picked Derrick Rose, you were right.
Yeah, you would have been correct. You would have been right. And I'm sure that I wonder who voted for him for MVP.
Oh, my God.
I want to know.
Oh, my God.
Maybe I don't want to know.
How did one of his stands hack the MVP award? On that, that was probably the best thing that happened with him leaving, was getting his stands out of my Twitter account.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point. Not to disparage those fans. We like every basketball fan pretty much, but some players just have a group of fans that are vehemently stronger when it comes to opinions and things like that. So yeah, that's a good point. And New York's a good place for that. Although I don't know if they're going to keep him. I feel like they will. I feel like they'll keep him. Okay. That kind of rolls us into our general NBA talk as we've done the past few weeks here. regarding the playoffs. Playoffs, obviously, the big talk right now. Heading into the conference finals, we have one team in the conference finals right now, the Phoenix Suns. Aaron, were you surprised to see that the Nuggets were swept by Phoenix?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I part of me thought that the Nuggets were going to win the series, and to see them get absolutely dominated was just shocking. And then Nikola Jokic put up a hell of an effort. He played so well and just could not get enough help. And it's really disappointing. I get that Denver didn't have Jamal Murray, but that can't be the reason that you're not able to at least take a game from Phoenix. And, you know, you still have, outside of Jokic, Aaron Gordon, Will Barton came back, Michael Porter Jr. You had enough to at least put up some semblance of a fight, and they just didn't at all. And that was really disappointing, especially for the regular season that Denver was having. Obviously, things went awry when Jamal Murray went down, and that was incredibly unfortunate. But still, like, you got to be good enough to take a game from the Suns, and it was just incredibly shocking, incredibly disappointing. But on the other hand, Phoenix is legit. Like, they are awesome, and obviously Chris Paul is playing phenomenal right now. Devin Booker is playing phenomenal right now. DeAndre Ayton continuing to silence the not hate, but kind of the disrespect that he's gotten. Obviously, you're going to take Luka Doncic or Trae Young ahead of him, looking back at it, obviously. But, like, he's just been cast away as, like, an irrelevant player, and he has been phenomenal and deserves a lot of credit for what he has done. You get a guy like Campaign, who hasn't been able to stay in the league, ends up in Phoenix and is playing really well, probably earning himself a legitimate payday. And, you know, there's just so many nice stories with that group. My guy Cam Johnson, who I was lobbying for the Pistons.
Oh, yeah.
A couple of years ago. Mikal Bridges is awesome. I said it last week, he's one of my favorite two-way wings in the league. Young pieces, like, really like him. I think he's still got some steps to take as a player, but already looks really good. They're a fun group. They're a good group. Like, they earned that win against.
They really are.
Convincingly. And the NBA is on notice that they just put away Denver that quickly. And handled the Lakers. I mean, a hell of an offseason so far.
Right. Yeah, they've had a great postseason. I think this speaks much larger about the Suns than it does Denver. Denver was banged up. They didn't have Will Barton really either. And again, Aaron Gordon is just miscast. Again, he just was not effective. Again. And I don't know what it is, but they're trying to put him in, like, I guess the Suns' defense played it pretty well, in that they didn't really give him pockets or anything where he could, you know, he could bang around and get to the hoop. They kind of forced him to be a little bit more isolation heavy, and he just doesn't work in that way.
I wonder how different the series would have went if they had Jeremy Grant, like this year's version of Jeremy Grant too. The guy,
good question.
Floor, the guy that could ISO, the guy that could, you know, back to the basket, drive, shoot. Like, I wonder what it would have looked like, especially obviously with Jamal Murray going down. That elevated role really could have been there for him, and I wonder how it would have looked.
It could have. Who did they replace him with? Jamichael Green.
Well, they grabbed Jamichael Green, and obviously they traded for Aaron Gordon and had Michael
Porter right.
Jr. rising. So it was just kind of
MPJ. A
mixture of things where it's, we have Michael Porter Jr. coming up. We're still paying Paul Millsap. We don't really, you know, I guess they didn't really, they obviously wanted to keep him. They offered him the same amount,
yeah,
of the same contract that Detroit did. So I guess it's not really, we didn't want him. They just, I guess, couldn't keep him if that reporting is true. So rather surprising. Right. And they
don't
win series with them by any stretch of the imagination, but they put up a better.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No, they definitely do. They needed a lot out of Michael Porter Jr. that they didn't get. And that's not because he's bad or ineffective. That's just a lot to ask out of a guy to be that second option. And then he left with a bad back and you're like, oh no, it's going to be even worse. Is that obviously disastrous. That's what kept him out.
He's so disastrous on defense. I mean, Phoenix just targeted him possession after possession. Look, you're 6'10". You're athletic. You're long. You're young. You got to be able to give it a little bit on defense. You can't just say, leave yourself on the offensive side of the floor. That's just not possible when you're going to try to play for an NBA championship, when you're trying to get out of the second round of the playoffs. Like, you just can't do that. That was, and I like Michael Porter Jr. I think he's a promising young player. I mean, the guy can
he's 22.
Shoot. He's very young, but he's got to learn to give a little bit on defense, or he's just always going to be an average player.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, the Nuggets were just put in too tough of a position without Murray. I mean, they withstood the Blazers. This might speak the most about the Blazers not being able to, I mean, the Suns disposed of Denver so easily and the Blazers were unable to do that. This might speak a little bit more about them as a team and all the dysfunction that's surrounding them too. But I was surprised it was a sweep. I thought it was going to go six, personally. I thought it was going to go six or, at least five. I mean, grief.
Yeah. Game at least, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about some of these other series because they are all very close. Are they all tied? I think they're all tied. Jazz and Clippers are tied. What do you think about Jazz Clippers really, really fast?
Donovan Mitchell being hurt a little bit still. Clippers kind of finding their groove. That's concerning. And I think, if I'm picking who wins right now, I think I'm picking the Clippers. Like they're finding their groove. Donovan Mitchell's still banged up. I think the
Clippers. So is Mike Conley.
Right. You don't have Mike Conley either. And do we have word if he's playing on Wednesday?
We can certainly find that out.
I mean, Donovan Mitchell is doing everything he can, and you can't get 11-8 from Rudy Gobert. Like you have to get more from him. Like,
yeah,
you have to. So I think the Clippers have the edge right now in that series. Obviously, they've won a pair in a row. Both of the Jazz's wins have been pretty close. The Clippers won pretty significantly in their two wins. Again, they've won two in a row. I think the Clippers are going to take that series the way it's looking like.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing that happened. Well, it's not kind of. It is the same thing that happened against the Dallas Mavericks. You know, they just take two games to figure things out, and
right, it's a
card. Then they figure it out after that.
Milwaukee,
very, very.
Portland's interesting. Obviously, they're going to play tonight, so we're not going to know who's leading the series when this podcast drops. Or we will know who's leading the series when this podcast drops, but we don't know right now when we're recording.
James Harden, injuries suck.
Yeah, James Harden's supposedly back. You have James Harden.
That's a mistake.
It probably is.
Kevin Durant knows firsthand coming back too early is a mistake.
Right. But if they're both able to play tonight and play the full game, it's going to be
really it's going to be awesome.
Brooklyn.
It's going to be awesome if that's the case. It just KD knows coming back from injury is not easy, and being rushed back can lead to damage. Just ask his torn Achilles against the Toronto Raptors coming back too soon. It's just really dangerous. But if they're in desperation mode, if they really feel like they can't muster together, scrap together enough to, because really you just have to keep it going until like the fourth quarter. Just stay competitive within like 10 heading in the fourth quarter, and then you can feed Durant and see what happens, because he's one of the few players in the league where he can do that in a quarter and take over a game, and there's nothing the opposing team can do. So if they really feel they can't get to that point and they need James Harden or they need another guy to take a little pressure off of him, guess I get it. I mean, I'm not a doctor. We don't know the medicals, but he went from out to doubtful to playing in like the matter of like 14 hours.
Right. Like it's just like a drastic change. And it sounds like it's James Harden saying like, look, I'm playing, like I can do it. And it's not as much of, hey, James is good. Like we think it's good to go out there. Like the way the tweets and the reporting sounds like James was determined to go out and play. He wanted to do it. So.
Right. Who has more pressure, Milwaukee or Brooklyn right now?
I think Brooklyn has the scapegoat of someone's always injured.
I agree for sure.
Cakewalk to a title, in my opinion, considering just how much talent is on that team.
Yeah, they're going to be even better next year too.
Right. And that's scary.
It's gross.
Milwaukee, like, I'd be really disappointed. But they also fought back in this series. It was 2-2, or it's 2-2 now, obviously, coming into tonight's game. If they would have been, like, swept or something, like, I would have said really bad look for Milwaukee. But it's 2-2. They have a fighting chance. We'll see how this game goes tonight. Unfortunately, not as much, you know, can't say too much because there's going to be game played by the time this podcast comes out. So don't want to evaluate it too much. But I'd say right now there's more pressure on Brooklyn considering how much talent they have.
Right. And then the Hawks and Nuggets, we can finish up here. Hawks and Sixers. Hawks and Sixers. Joel Embiid's injury, we talked about. Once again, injuries are just the worst. Just the worst. I mean, if we have healthy teams for all these playoffs are totally different. Totally, totally, totally different.
Right.
And again, Joel Embiid being injured sucks.
But they're still winning. They're still winning.
And they're still winning. DeAndre Hunter, injured. I know he's not on the same level as some of these other guys like Conley or Donovan Mitchell, but he's an important player for them. Just is really brutal to have all these injuries. I think the Sixers will definitely win.
Yeah.
But Atlanta gives them a fight. I mean, Atlanta's going to be good too. The Hawks are giving them a run for their money, and they're going to be good, and they've got some offseason decisions to make with John Collins. And, you know, they were shopping Bogdanovich, but they're going to be tough next year too. And Trae Young is obviously going to get better. But to me, I can chalk this up as a Hawks win for the season. They won a playoff series. To me, that's a win. You've progressed in your rebuild to the point of winning a playoff series. Yeah, it was against the Knicks, and the Knicks offense is pretty bad, but still a playoff series. So to me, everything like this is just playing with house money. I mean, just to take two games off of the Sixers is, you know, it's fun and it's exciting. But at this point, they're just, you know, playing with house money, like I said.
Yep. Yeah, they got and they got some work to do to that roster. It's not complete. Obviously, they're still a young team with Trae Young, John Collins, et cetera. But there's still some work to do to that roster. And, like, getting DeAndre Hunter healthy will be huge. They haven't had Cam Reddish. Obviously, he's not.
That's true.
For them right now, but maybe he has some potential for them. They probably still need to go out and get a big-time wing or two-guard to really elevate them. But it's tough because they spend a lot of money, and like guys like Bogdanovich, he's solid. Guys like Kevin Hart, nice depth to have, but just probably not enough there to move the needle. And maybe it's actually moving on from someone like John Collins and seeing if they
can
have, you know, a big time combo forward or something like that. So
someone who can do a little bit of both, like more of a two way guy.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the right way to put it.
And he hasn't really been this good in the series. John Collins was okay last series and played pretty well throughout the season. He was part of that big push to end the season for Atlanta. Maybe they'll have to explore the market, see what they can get to fill out that roster a little bit to complement Trae Young and some of those other pieces. Aaron, I know that you got to go soon-ish. Is there anything else you want to touch on with the general NBA and the playoffs happening? We got some playoff games happening maybe right now.
I'm good on the playoff talk. You know, I think we hit on the big stuff there. Certainly shocked to see Denver get swept, but I'm really excited to see what Phoenix does the rest of the way.
Yeah, I am too. That's one of the teams where I'm really, really excited to see what they do. I like Chris Paul a lot. He gets this weird pseudo hate. I don't know why, but he's deserved this moment for sure. And the Bucks and Nets starts at 8:30. So it's not quite started yet here. But we're going to go watch some playoff basketball. And I've said that last 3 weeks, and that is a great sentence. That's a great sentence. That's a great way to cap this podcast off. And next week we will have more Pistons stuff to discuss with the draft lottery. We'll hopefully have something live for that to talk about where the Pistons land, to get some instant reactions. It'll be really exciting. I like talking about playoff basketball, but I really like talking about our favorite team.
It's going to be great, Mike.
It's going to be great.
It's going to open up a whole new door of things to talk about. So can't wait to get into it.
Or it's going to be real sad. Either way.
We're not trying to have that mindset, damn it.
either way, we hope that you will join us next week. when we do have those discussions. So for Aaron Johnson, I am Mike Angulano. Thank you very much for joining us on the Palace of Pistons podcast, part of the Believe Podcast Network. And we will see you all next time.
Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.